Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Under a Shady Tree with Lord Terry and Lord Onyx. Come on in, grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These Southern Pagan boys are about to start their talk. Here's Lord Terry and Lord Onyx.
You know, we're going to really have to work on those intros. good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and this is Under a Shady Tree with Terry and Robin.
Hello.
Onyx has moved on to other things, and my lady, my love, my wonderful partner has agreed to share the Shady Tree with us, and we really need to get those intros fixed. That's just all there is to it. We're keeping the same music, though. Because the music on Thursday night is wicked damn cool. And I think it's my favorite intro and bumper music of any of the shows. So we're going to keep that. We just got to redo the audio. So
I'm kind of partial to my show's music, but that's, you know.
Well, and that's cool. And I'm glad you are. And I never suggested taking it away from you. I just think that, I mean, Thursday night, the Under a Shady Tree music is the coolest music of any of the shows for me personally. So, kind of jealous that I used it for this show instead of for my personal show. But hey, what the hell? anyway. It's Thursday night, and I am rambling. I'm
already
all excited because I'm excited. Yeah, well, you do that to me. So I'm all excited because I'm coming home tomorrow night.
I know.
And Saturday I get to sort tires.
That's true. That's probably what we're going to spend our weekend doing. I was telling somebody I spoke to earlier today. He was asking me what we were doing this weekend, and I said sorting tires.
Absolutely. That's what we're going to do. We're going to sort tires, and I'm probably going to put children to work.
Yeah.
So that's going to be good for children, and because what else do we have children for if not slave labor? I mean, come on, we got 7 acres on the side of a mountain. We need work, you know. So I'm just getting excited. I want to see all the tires. Because we got 5 tons of tires delivered while I was over here working.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've not even seen them. I've seen the pictures you've sent. And I want to get there and get them sorted so that I can start designing, or the final design of the greenhouse that we're going to be putting up on the 19th, I guess the 18th, 19th, 20th, that weekend of September. So it's going to be a great deal of fun building an Earthship-style greenhouse and practicing and learning and figuring stuff out. So our next project will be a larger construction that will cover the mass rocket stove that we're going to build outside so that I don't burn down the house. We'll build one outside. Make all my mistakes out there. So everybody stay tuned. It's going to get interesting. We're going to have a lot going on and a lot to share with you guys. So anyway, tonight, however, we have Alaric, and his last name is escaping me. I am so bad.
Albertson,
thank you. I wrote it all over the place today. So Alaric is an author, seems somewhat prolific. He's written several books on Saxon paganism, and as well as some fiction. He's got some personal appearances coming up in the next few months. So Alaric has agreed to come on the show and share with us. So Alaric, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Terry. Thanks for having me.
He remembered your name.
Oh, thank you for being with us. So,
I have to bust his chops a little.
I have to actually hear it to actually for it to work.
Oh, that's good that you didn't hear.
I'm sorry, were you saying something? Alaric, why don't you tell our listeners about yourself and those that don't already know who you are. All the new people that are introduced to you for the first time, what do you want them to know about yourself?
Well, you pretty much identified me. I'm a pagan author. I'm a native of Missouri. I've been living in Pennsylvania, though, for the past about 14 years now. And longtime pagan since the 1970s. And I should stop saying You just kind of caught me. I hate trying to describe myself to people.
I do that to people because everybody hates talking about themselves, and it gets you into the flow of it.
I always feel like, aren't I great? Aren't I great? I've been pagan for a long time, but it was only a few years ago. It was in 2007, I think it was, when I was talking to Christopher Penzack, and he was encouraging me to write. And I kind of played devil's advocate and was saying, nobody's going to want to hear what I have to say. But I finally sat down and wrote my first book, which was Travels Through Middle Earth, that came out in 2009. And it was well received. And so since then, I've been kind of trying to share other things that I've learned over the years in several other books that have come out.
Okay, yeah, and I was particularly familiar. I've not had a chance to get to acquire and read yet. But Weird Working looks very interesting to me.
I'm really pleased with Weird Working. Weird Working is it had an interesting history. Originally, it was going to be just a book about runes, but because I was going to write about the Anglo-Saxon runes, I felt like I had to have more material in it because I didn't know the problem with Anglo-Saxon runes, and it's not really a problem, but most runes that are sold, rune sets that are sold, are something called the Elder Futhark, which is, they're like the oldest known runes, but there's really not much that's known about them. And most of the lore that's applied to them is taken from the Old English rune poem. But that poem actually describes 29 runes. So I was writing a book about 29 runes, when if you go into any New Age store from Atlantic to Pacific, almost all of the rune sets being sold only have 24 runes in them. So I wound up kind of expanding the book, where half of the book is on the Old English runes, and then the last half of the book is on other Old English magical techniques and modalities.
Well, see, now that sounds interesting to me. I'm familiar with the Elder Futhark and have made my own rune stones, you know, rune sets before. You know, hearing you talk about how they differ, and are the extra runes, is it completely different, or is it just the same runes with additional runes?
No, actually, since the lore, since the meanings of the Elder Futhark are actually taken from the Old English rune poem, if you study the Elder Futhark, you kind of know 82% of the runes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't have the others that are described in the rune poem. And there is one, there's one rune that kind of changes its position. But mostly, you know, if you know, well, I don't know the Elder Futhark names for them, but if you know, like, Fehu, it's what they call it in the Old Norse and in the Elder Futhark. Well, it's Feok, but it's the exact same thing. You know, if you've studied it in one, so I kind of fill it out with the other runes, and then, you know, I also give a lot of Old English lore in the book.
That sounds pretty cool. That sounds pretty cool. It sounds like something I'm going to have to get my hands on.
Well, that's what I was shooting for, was pretty cool.
I was looking at your To Walk a Pagan Path book, because that's very much sort of where I'm at always on my path, is how do I put this into my everyday, and how do I take the simple acts of something like baking bread and turn it into a spiritual pursuit? And
that's where I was going with that.
Kind of appeals to me, yeah.
And it's been actually To Walk a Pagan Path has turned out to be my big seller. I mean, it's like it has outsold everything else that I've written, which actually kind of surprised me a little bit. I'm pleased with it, but I was surprised also. But apparently it resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that Robin and I have worked very hard on since coming together, is having no real differentiation between daily life and spiritual life. It just all blends into life.
Well, I think that's important. That's what I was really trying for with To Walk a Pagan Path. I think so many people out there, I don't think it's their fault. You know, I don't blame anybody. You know, but you get these books, and they tell you about rituals and things like that. And so you have your ritual, and, you know, once in a month the moon is full, and, you know, it's like more days, you don't really know what, you know, and I just feel like very important. I mean, I'm pagan 24/7. You know, very few times when I affect everything I do.
Right.
That's important. You know, if you should live your spirituality.
Agreed.
We agree 100%. So, now I also, the Old English or the Saxon path differ from what people think of as Wicca or, you know, neo-paganism?
Well, there's similarities, you know, partly because, you know, Wicca was put together in England, and, you know, a lot of it was based on English folklore. I think it fits in well. In fact, I actually have a coven. We're a Saax Wicca coven, which is like a Saxon tradition coven. It is Wiccan, but it fits well, if you know what I'm saying. A lot of the things that are called sabbats. I mean, some of them were, you know, cobbled together later, but like the solstices are terribly important in Anglo-Saxon, the sacred calendar. Those are really big deals for us. I don't know, trying to, like, difficult to say that in like 25 words or less, how are they the same and how are they different? I would say a big difference is that our policy is.
Don't limit yourself to 25 words. We still got 45 minutes to talk.
Oh, okay, good. Well, in that case, well, I would say a big difference is that, you know, first of all, we're polytheists. You know, I'm a polytheist, so I don't really believe that every god is one god and all goddesses are one goddess.
Right, but we're on the same page, you and I.
You know, I have a hard time with that. You know, it's like you have, I mean, I don't see how, you know, Eris, goddess of discord, is the same as, you know, Aphrodite. You know, it's like they're like totally different things to me. And I w- and in my opinion, you know, Eris has a lot more in common with the Norse Loki, even though he's a different pantheon and a different sect.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that, you know, the difference, the distinctions between the divine is a lot more than, you know, whether it's a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a big difference there. And, you know, for me, it was important in my spirituality to kind of connect with what my ancestors did. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to do that. If I were not to be, if I were not Anglo-Saxon, I would probably go with Hellenic. And I am not Greek at all, you know, but I wanted some kind of connection with you know, a real culture. And so I've done a lot of research, like, over the years on my own. And, of course, you know, nobody does it really on their own. You borrow from everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, weird working, one thing about weird working is, even though it's a practical guide to magic, I mean, it's for people to actually do it. It's not just scholarly. But it focuses very specifically on Old English magic, which, you know, I take from the Old English healing charms and English folklore and things like that.
Well, very cool. You know, I follow a predominantly Celtic path,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I've just always been drawn to those stories. And I'm sure there are some similarities here and some things that I can learn from your books. So I'm kind of excited.
Well, Travels Through Middle Earth, when I was writing that, it's like, even though it's subtitled The Path of a Saxon Pagan, it's really for anybody. I really wrote it for myself back in 1971. If I could just, you know, hop in my little time machine and hand it to myself back then, I could have saved myself, you know, so much confusion. And you know, when I was writing it, I realized I was not really trying to recruit people to become Anglo-Saxons, because, you know, that's like totally not pagan. You know, like, you know, people need to find their own path, and it may not be mine. And that's kind of the emphasis of the book, even though I'm writing it from a Saxon perspective. You know, the book is about finding your relationship with your God, whoever they may be.
Okay,
well,
very cool.
Exactly. It's all about that.
And then, yeah, I mean, you mentioned, so I'm just going to plug myself on this, too. I've got a couple of fiction books out there that I'm really proud of. They don't do nearly as well as my nonfiction, but I'm still really proud of them.
Well, then certainly.
Yeah, share away.
Well, my first one, Perception, was published in, I guess, like a 2 years ago maybe now. Came out right after To Walk a Pagan Path. And Perception is a science fiction book, but it's not your typical science fiction. It's more a book about the people. The situation is that you have a group of people who live in a kind of secluded suburban setting, and aliens come and pretty much take apart our entire government just overnight. I mean, in 24 hours, they lose their internet, they lose their power, they lose water, everything. Everything's just shut down. And, you know, the story, though, is not so much about the aliens, but about the people themselves and how they cope under these conditions, and really how they begin to realize how often we don't really know each other. And that was the theme that I was trying to explore. And through the novel, they begin to realize more and more they thought they knew each other, but they really didn't. And you know, at the same time, they're trying to figure out why the aliens are doing what they're doing. You know, so they have to figure out what this alien perspective is too.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a really nice little book, and you know, I get great compliments about it and everything, but it's very difficult to break into a fiction market.
Yeah.
So it's not pagan at all. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You know, other than the fact that I wrote it, you know, but
right.
It's like there's no real spiritual theme to it as such.
Mm-hmm.
And then my other book, I wrote another book that I published. And I published that myself because I don't know that I would ever have found a publisher who would have taken it. I don't think it, not because it's bad, but it's just, it's definitely a pagan sort of book. And it was kind of inspired by an incident that happened in my life in 1980, where, you know, I mean, that was the age of kind of like free love, blah, blah, blah. And a female friend of mine, very close friend of mine, got went under a whole lot of criticism because she had very traditional, as in like, monogamous type values.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was really interesting because her husband didn't get any flack. They were both living the same lifestyle, but it was just her, you know. And at the same time, you know, I'd seen like the opposite, where if a woman went out and was having a lot of fun, you know, she was like shamed for this, whereas a guy is considered a stud. And, you know, it hit me. It's like, you know, women just cannot catch a break. So I started just, like, making little notes. It started out just little notes in a spiral notebook. And the question in my mind was, what if we flipped everything around? What if promiscuity was a virtue and, you know, a monogamous lifestyle was considered very selfish and not sharing yourself with the community? And, it started out just as like I said, just little notes in a spiral notebook, and it kind of like began to snowball then. And eventually, I knew I had a story. And so when I had a story, I had to come up with a situation. I had to have a setting for it. And I kind of created this whole hypothetical future where this takes place in a post-apocalyptic world where people are basically polytheists. They're all pagans. They're all polytheists. But also, they also have this morality where they have four times a year, once every season, they have the sharing. And the sharing is you are expected to be with somebody other than whoever your partner is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their rationale is this builds community and, you know, such. It actually, in my fake history, fictional history, it actually came about because of low fertility and a need to, you know, like make sure that any possibility of creating a new baby was out there.
And spread the gene pool out a little bit.
Yeah, so, and I came up with this novel that actually I consider it like one of my great works because I spent like over 30 years writing this before I finally was totally satisfied with it. And then I realized, you know, nobody's going to publish this. So, you know, perception had come out. So I'd had validation as a fiction author, and then I just published it myself. But you can get it off of my website. If you go to www.lyricalbertson.com, there's a link to my fiction books, and you can get it there.
Cool.
Excellent.
Go ahead. Can you tell us a little bit about I'm sort of like skimming through your bio here. It says here that you, at one point in your life, you lived in the Ozark Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been an interesting experience.
Well, not if you're from there.
Well, yeah. I'm saying you dropped into that culture.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it was very, it was a very rural area that I lived in at one time, in a part of Arkansas. It was really quite interesting because there were people who, there was a lot of superstition, and I mean, it was not an enlightened area by any means, but you also found people who to not plant by the moon. This wasn't some fun little thing they were doing. It's like to them, planting without looking at what the moon's doing was insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would have never even considered doing that. And if you did that, you know, if you didn't consider the moon, then obviously you just don't know what you're doing. You know. So there was a lot of lore, I mean, like, you know, carryover lore. And, you know, you hear about this, like, an Appalachian culture,
mm-hmm.
but it also, the Ozark culture is very similar to that. You know, just old dance customs and things like that that probably haven't existed, you know, out in the outside world for, you know, hundreds of years, you know, but
uh-huh.
they can still be found in certain pockets of the world. And
well,
this is one of those pockets.
Yeah, those are people who are still living closely tied to the land because it still supports them.
Yeah, and very cut off. I mean, we didn't even have phones. You couldn't get a telephone,
mm-hmm.
you know, because houses were so far apart and the landscape was so rough
mm-hmm.
that no phone company was even there. So everybody, you know, remember CB radios?
Right.
Everybody had a CB radio, and that's
mm-hmm.
how... You know, we use Citizen Band. That's how you connected with other people.
Right.
Which means everybody was listening to every conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah, there was no privacy. When you made a phone call, everybody in the county knew what you were talking about. And there were people there who were listening in on everybody's conversations.
Oh, sure.
So I'm sure that was the local entertainment. That's better than the radio station.
Yeah.
Well, I'm old enough to remember in New York City when telephone service first came in, they had something called the party line.
Oh, yes. I remember party lines. I had a party line, yeah.
Uh-huh, yep. And so did we when I was a kid. We still had a party line because it was, you know, a very affordable thing still. And so you could pick up and you could hear, you know, the neighbors talking on the phone to their grandchildren or, you know, the teenage girl down the street talking to her boyfriend on the phone. And it was interesting.
Yeah, and as I recall, it seemed like when I had a party line, you had to listen. And it was like the number of rings or there was some kind of little code,
yes.
like how it rang on whether
mm-hmm.
it was for you or somebody else. So,
That's right.
And it wasn't necessarily always good. I had a party line with somebody else in an apartment building I was in, and, you know, it's like, so now it's just by accident you pick up the phone to make a call, and suddenly you're hearing somebody talk about you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It can be a little awkward at times. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's reminiscing. It's unique. I mean, people wouldn't even think about something like that today. We're so used to, you know, carrying our phone in our pocket and having pretty much complete privacy.
Oh, yeah.
But not back
well,
then.
Or at least the illusion of complete
mm-hmm.
privacy.
Yeah,
well,
the
yeah,
illusion
the,
of
the what is it, the NSA is listening. But
well, and, you know, I think being older, it gives you a perspective. I mean, I'll see people on Facebook, they'll just be appalled because something they put on Facebook or on an email or something, and,
mm-hmm.
and it somehow got out, and they're just, like, amazed, and it's like, well, of course it did, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I expect anything I put out there to get anywhere, you know. I don't
mm-hmm.
necessarily know where it's going to go, so I kind of take a little care of what. And I think having experiences like that, like the old party line, you know, you realize somebody can be listening.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yes,
I mean,
yeah. I guess Facebook is today's version
line.
Of a party line, actually,
mm-hmm.
yeah. That's a good correlation.
Actually, you know what Facebook is?
This is
I don't know if you're familiar with this. But this is like old pagan dude stuff. Facebook, to me, is... It reminds me so much, in the 70s, the Church of All Worlds, when it was located in St. Louis, used to put out Green Egg magazine, and it was just a little mimeograph-like thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Were you familiar with that?
Yep.
No, I was not. I was not. In the 70s, I was still in, probably junior high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm older than you. But anyway,
a couple of years.
This Green Egg magazine, everybody subscribed to it. Everybody
mm-hmm.
got the thing. And And Oberon Zell, who I'm sure you know who he is, it was his policy, the rear half of this little magazine, anyone, you could send a letter in there, and they would print anything. Anything at all.
Oh,
and
cool.
And you know, he and I were both speakers at an event a couple years ago, and I talked, and we had this long talk about it, and he was telling me he firmly believed then and now that, you know, everybody has the right to just say whatever stupid thing they want to say. And so it didn't matter what was sent in, he printed as it was. No censorship at all.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, because at the time, this was when I was living in Arkansas, and it was like a lifeline.
Yeah.
You know, it connected me with this greater world. And now that we have Facebook, I realize it's like Facebook is just like the forum in the Green Egg, this place
mm-hmm.
out there where anyone can just say anything, no matter how dumb it sounds. And, you know, and some of it really is dumb, but when you combine it all together, it's just wonderful.
Yeah. That's like the back page of the Village Voice. You know, when I was living in Manhattan, as a young person, that was really why you bought the Voice, was to be able to look at the back page and see what stupid stuff people had written.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. You weren't getting it for the articles necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Interesting. Ah, well, you know what? It's just about 10:30. And that means it's probably time for us to take a break, Terry.
I believe you are right, and I have I'm kind of in a Darb the Bard mood, and I'm thinking about Antlered Crown and Standing Stone.
Okay.
For our song tonight, and so everybody stick around. We'll be back here in a few minutes.
In the leaf, I'm the voice within the tree. I am boy, I am man, the face of the changing man. And I have been your constant guide from your caves on the mountainside. We have walked hand in hand. The birds sing to the dawn, and the land has awoken, and oh, my lady lays with me, and our love weaves a tapestry, eternal thread unbroken. I am lover, I am father, I am in all of nature.
sky is grey. Where am I this winter's day? Bones of trees, fallen leaves, the time of the winter queen. But through the wind and snow and rain, know that a part of me remains. Holly stands evergreen.
One power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
To Terry and Onyx on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to the show.
We'll move to Virginia.
I love this music. I told you, we're keeping this. I just got to redo the voice. And, we might even need to get another voice to do that. It's kind of a mildly weird for you to be introducing yourself. So, anyway, thinking out loud. Anyway, so hope everybody enjoyed the song. That is one of my favorites from Darv the Bard, Antlered Crown and Standing Stone, and. That song will easily get stuck in my head, and it will be around for 2 or 3 days after I listen to it. So there's something in it that is definitely speaking to me. But I think we've had that conversation about the energy of the mountain and how it speaks to me.
Yeah.
And the all the horned god energy that just comes with that place as it speaks to me. So that might be what's about that song that's drawing me in so much. But anyway, tonight we are talking with Alaric Albertson, a pagan author, a fiction author, and just a really fun guy to talk to. So, Alaric, are you back with us?
I'm still here.
All right. So, we've been talking about your books that are in print right now. But I also understand that there's a book in work, possibly a nonfiction book in work.
Yeah, actually, I have two things kind of going. I do that. I multitask because, then when I get that writer's block thing going on, I just move to the other project. So I'm actually working on a sequel to Once Every Season right now, and then I also have a nonfiction book that I'm trying to put together. I haven't actually sent in my proposal yet, but I'm hoping that Llewellyn will pick it up on. Right now it's still in the stage where it's an outline, and I don't want to talk too much about it because I found when I talk about my work, I don't actually write it down. But I can tell you that where I'm going with this is I'd like to write a book about herbology, the use of herbs in magic cooking, remedial herbs, the whole nine yards, and approach it in a more holistic way than so many books out there. It'll be a book on herb magic, or a book on medicinal herbs, or a book on how to cook with herbs, and I want to have something that really ties all of this together, and I also want to demystify herbs for people. Mm. I think a lot of people are a little afraid to get their hands dirty with it. So I want to present it in a way where people feel very, very comfortable, and they feel like they can actually go out there and do it. I kind of feel like that's sort of a hallmark for me. It's like in Travels Through Middle Earth, I did that with mead. I've had so many people get in touch with me saying, I always thought about making mead, but I never had the courage to do it until I read your book. So that's what I want to do, but with herbs. I want to put a book out there where people will feel confident about going out there and actually not just reading a book about it, but actually working with herbs and using them.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Oh,
well, I'm a holistic health coach, so you write the book and I'll recommend it to my clients.
Okay.
and we'll get a copy for Lisa for a gift giving opportunity.
Absolutely.
Our local kitchen witch.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but like I said, it's like this is like really just this. I mean, it will be a couple of years before it would be out, and I haven't even.
Yeah.
I mean, if my acquisitions editor is listening to this program, this is totally news for her. So.
Excellent.
my most recent thing that I've finished, and it won't be out for a while because it's just how publishing goes, but in the 2017 Llewellyn Witch's Date book, I've written a series of short articles about the old English months. So each month there'll be a little article about what it, how it was known. The words we have for our months are not actually English words. They're Roman words.
Mm-hmm.
Just for example, the month of May, what we call May in English, in old English, it was called three milkings. Because at that time of year, they were milking their cows three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So each month I talk a little bit about, the name of the month and what it meant and what was going on in English life at that time. And, I'm kind of excited about that, so.
Neat.
Well, that's very cool. Very cool. All right, so you had a question.
Yeah, so Alric, you've been kicking around for many moons now. It sounds like in the pagan community, and just out of a curiosity, and this is sort of a personal question, did you ever run into Owl or Jackie Sutton?
Yes, of course I have. Hasn't everyone?
Yes, she's my neighbor.
Is she
she's my
really?
Neighbor.
Oh,
yes.
That's awesome.
Jackie lives next door to me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't claim her to be a close personal friend or anything like that, but I have met her at something here in Pennsylvania. I think it might have been at a Pittsburgh Pride or something like that.
Probably.
But I have met her, and of course I know tons of people who know her, like Navasi and people like that.
Yes. Yeah. It struck me because I know that she's been in this community since the 70s as well, and I'm thinking to myself, people who are in such a tight community as we are, really, in a lot of ways, small world, who've been in the community for that long, usually have run into each other one place or another.
It is very, very likely, because if you take all the pagans in the entire United States, and if you could just put us all in one place, we'd make up like a good-sized town or possibly a small city, but there just aren't that many of us.
Yeah.
So,
true.
Yeah, if someone's been around for a long time, it's very likely that I've met them at some time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Yeah. So my other question is, I was looking in your bio that you were living out west, and you had founded a group, Heartland Spiritual Alliance, but then you decided to suddenly pick up your sticks and move to Pennsylvania. What brought you to Pennsylvania, the great state of Pennsylvania?
Oh, that was because of my husband got an offer for a job that he could not refuse.
Ah, well, I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, you know, just one of those things. Scott doesn't ask me to do a whole lot of things. I get to make most of my own life decisions and all. And he was offered a job here as the CFO of a corporation, and he really wanted to do it. And it's like, okay, fine, we'll move out to Pennsylvania. So it was tough. It was really tough at first because, you know, I was in my late 40s. I was almost 50 then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to pack up your whole life. And, you know, fortunately, though, you know, we do live in a world where you can still, I mean, you know, with cell phones, there's really no long distance anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so I can call friends, you know, back home whenever I want. And we make at least one trip back to the Midwest at least once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, I'll be going back two or three times a year and, you know, reconnect with friends who I've known for, you know, 30 or 40 years, you know.
Yeah, oh, that's nice. You get to do that. That's
yeah.
Good.
In fact, I just got back last month. I do this thing every year in July. It's the same thing I do. It's like I get together with friends who I knew in college. And,
wow.
And we get together and have our own little mini reunion, and suddenly, you know, like we're 40 years younger and we act like idiots. And
Well, it's always good to you know, to recharge your battery and have that touchstone to who you were back then. It's nice, yeah.
Pretty much, it is. It's very nice to do that. But you know, we've been here for 14 years now, and I have to admit, I really like it here. There's a lot of very nice people here. We have a really good community now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a lot of things going on. I have a very active life. Not just in Pittsburgh, but just in this whole area, you know, that I do different festivals, you know, as a speaker and things like that. So,
So if somebody were interested in contacting your group, if they wanted to study with you, what would be the best way for them to contact you?
The best way to contact me is through my website. You know, and when you go there, there's that little contact button, and it looks like I've got an office or something. Basically, you hit contact, and it just sends me an email. and that's just www.alericalbertson.com. You know, they have to remember to put that second S in Albertson, because that's not really my surname. My father's name, my dad's name is Albert, and I'm Albert's son. So there, you have to get that second S in there.
Cool.
Yeah, they just hit contact, and you can shoot me an email. And I'm pretty good about answering them. Or, you know, just show up at anything that I'm at. And please, I would like to tell people, if you do know I'm going to be at an event, and if you want, I can tell you some of the things that are coming up that I'm going to be at. But
if you know
I'm going to be at an event, please come up and say something to me, because yeah, you know, I'll hear people later say, "Well, I heard you talk to such and such." And it's like, "Well, why didn't you come up and say hi?" You know, it's like, I'm not going to bite anybody. Yeah, you know, so. And I love meeting new people. I think I'm fairly approachable.
Good.
Yeah,
so that's always important when you're at an event and you're, you know, speaking, to be approachable. It's, I have always felt it's sort of part of it. Part of your job while you're there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think people also, and I kind of understand this, because, you know, I didn't pop out of the box as an author. You know, I was a pagan for 40 years when I wrote my first book. You know, so I know what it's like. I know what it was like when I first met Ray Buckland. I thought, oh, my God, I met Ray Buckland, you know. Now I run into Ray Buckland. We were both speakers at Earth Warriors, and we just hung out and we're talking like we're good old buds, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, now I realize, you know, we're all just people, you know. And you know, so, you know, if you if you can tell, you know, if you show up at a festival and you can see the person's really busy or carried or something, you know, just use some social skills, you know. But if they look like they're ready to talk to somebody, go up and talk to them, because, you know, we're just people and we like to meet people. If we didn't like interacting with people, we wouldn't be doing this.
That's very true.
Yeah, I just heard Raven Grimassi on Facebook. He said something. He was kind of angry about someone who had accused him of being into it for the money.
Yeah, I saw
and
that too.
And I was thinking, it's like, who would do this for the money?
There's so many other things
you should be doing if you're into it for the money.
Yeah, where's all that money? Where is that money?
I don't know where all this money is.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're spending a lot of money traveling, but I'm not seeing, I'm missing something here. I'm part of this that I hadn't figured out.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's like, you know, with my royalties and everything, when you consider all my expenses, I kind of just, like, slide by.
Yeah.
You know, and break even, you know. So I don't think there's anybody out there, I don't care how popular they are, I don't think there are any pagan, you know, personalities or authors or anything out there who you would consider remotely wealthy.
Right.
You know, at least not, you know, from what they do as a pagan, you know.
Yeah. So what are we doing this for? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Because we have a calling.
That's it, exactly. The gods,
yeah,
the gods have deemed it our work.
I know exactly why I do it. I get letters. I just got a letter from a guy the other day. He was thanking me because he was always afraid to, like, work with magic until he read Weird Working, and that gave him the confidence, and he and his wife have been trying to get pregnant, and so after reading Weird Working, he got the confidence up, and he worked up this charm to help them get pregnant, and he wanted to write me, let me know that they're expecting in November.
Oh, that's,
you know,
wonderful.
That's why I do this. You know,
absolutely.
Like right
absolutely.
There, it's like that's so much of a reward.
Mm-hmm.
That's worth more than anything else I could, you know, want.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to help people. Just trying to help people.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That exactly.
Well, as we head toward the top of the hour, why don't you tell our listeners, I've got three places on an email here, places you're going to be appearing, but I'm guessing you have more. So,
I think I know what you're talking about with those three, and that's pretty much what I've got, because that's October, it's like the year kind of comes to an end. And then, you know, like in around December or so, people will be contacting me about next year. But it tends to be kind of a seasonal thing, you know. And
absolutely.
Yeah, the next thing, and these are public things. I also do some private, you know, for private groups, but I can't really announce those because, you know, they're private.
Mm-hmm.
But the public things I'll be at in September, I'm going to be at the Earth Warriors Festival, which is near Clarksville, Ohio. And if you're in that area, I highly recommend it. It's the last weekend in September. It's September 24th, 27th. You can find it online. It's just earthwarriorsfestival.com. If you live anywhere in Ohio or near Western Ohio, I think this is one of my favorite little festivals. They have maybe about 200 people, 250 to show up, so it's not a huge festival, but they have great speakers, including me. And the festival itself has very much a tribal sense. You always feel like it's like a family coming together. So anyway, that's where I'll be the last weekend in September is Earth Warriors. And then a week after that, I'm going to be one of the speakers at Pittsburgh Pagan Pride, and that's October 3rd, Saturday, October 3rd. That's going to be at the Unitarian Universalist Church of the North Hills, just north of Pittsburgh, and it should be really good, too. In addition to me, they also have Raven Grimassi and Stephanie Taylor are going to be there as speakers. And, they're going to have Kellyanna for music. And Kellyanna is also going to be an Earth Warrior, so I get to see Kellyanna twice in 2 weeks, which is kind of makes my fall. And So anyway, if you live anywhere near Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh Pagan Pride, yay, show up for it. And then then the last thing I'm doing this year, and then I take off for a couple of months, is in October 17th, I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa, where I will be the speaker at their Pagan Jubilee, which is put on by their local CUP group. It's going to be at the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines. And I've never done Des Moines before, so I'm really excited about it. It's supposed to be a smaller group, too. The organizer told me he expects perhaps up to about 150 people. And like I said, I've actually been to Des Moines because I used to live, you know, in the Midwest, but mm-hmm. I've never been a speaker at a pagan event in Des Moines. In fact, when I lived there, I don't think really Des Moines really had much of a pagan community other than a couple of covens. The world's changing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I did a job for my day job over in Des Moines. I spent 3 or 4 days over there,
mm-hmm.
and actually got a tour of the State House.
Oh,
which is kind of a cool old building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so Des Moines kind of a cool town. Go get a zombie burger.
Well, and they have nice people.
Ask them where a zombie burger is. You got to go by there.
All the people who I've met in Des Moines, I've always enjoyed Des Moines people. They've always been very welcoming, neighborly type people. So I'm kind of looking forward to this trip. I'm actually driving out there. Fortunately, I have a friend here in Pittsburgh who's agreed to go out there with me because it's kind of, you know, 30 years ago, I could have made a drive like that without, you know, blinking. But I'm in my 60s now. You know, a drive like that far, it's like I'm just not going to be able to make it that, you know, by myself that easily. But I have a friend who's going to go out with me, and so we're going to kind of road trip out there. And it's something I'm really looking forward to. So anyway, those are the three places I'm going to be, and you know, I've never been to the Des Moines thing, but I'm sure it's going to be fun. And I have been to Pride, Pittsburgh's Pride before, and I know it's going to be fun because we've got great speakers, they got great entertainment. The Pride Committee's done wonderful work this year,
mm-hmm.
And then again, it's like in September, there's going to be Earth Warriors, and if you've never been to Earth Warriors and you live close enough to get there, I highly recommend it.
Sounds like a short time.
Well, that does sound pretty cool. Well, we are at the top of the hour, so Alex, I want to thank you again for being on the show tonight and sharing all of your doings with our listeners.
Well, thank you for having me, Terry.
And so you've already told people how to find you, so I guess it's time for us to do the same.
Yes,
so,
it is.
So you want to start, my lady, and then I'll wrap it up?
Sure. You can get in touch with the station if you have any questions about anything you've heard on a show, any complaints, anything you want to just vent about at CERN.org. If you want to get in touch... yeah, I'm sorry, CERN.org@gmail.com?
Yes.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with Terry or myself via email, that you can reach us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. And if you want to get in touch with me, the best way to do that is to reach me through my Facebook pages, Spiritual Wellness Physical Health, or my personal page, Robin A. McKean, and I will get back in touch with you. Take it away, Terry.
All righty. And let's see. If you want to get in touch with me, the easiest way to do that is to find me on Facebook. I am Terry Power. Shows me in North Copley, Pennsylvania. Or you can find my public figure page RevTerryPowerHP. Follow me on Twitter at RevTerryPowerHP. And you've already mentioned the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. There's also the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. All three of those pages are the kind of pages where you click on like, and so you start getting announcements from us and stuff like that. So if you check out those pages and you like what you see, like the page and let us know so that we know that we're doing something cool and serving our community. You told them about the radio station email. So I think we're pretty well covered.
Okay. Elric, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Anytime you have anything you want to talk about, feel free to send me an email and say, hey, can I be on the show sometime soon? I'll be more than happy to have
so
you
much.
Come back. It was a pleasure speaking to you, getting to know you, and I look forward to meeting you sometime we come out to Pittsburgh. I know we're going to be doing an Elevation for Nevasi soon, so hopefully we can make that all work.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, you take care. Thanks again. Thanks to all of our listeners. Thank you for being with us and sharing these Thursday nights. It's you that we do this for. Because we could get around, we could get together and sit around on the phone, you know, and have this conversation. We're here because of you guys.
That's
and,
right.
And we're honored that you share your Thursday nights with us. You do have a choice, and you choose to be here with us, which is kind of cool. So thanks so
Agreed.
Much, everybody. And I hope that you all have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night and blessed be.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.